Hi faculty, it's Mike Overholt. Have you ever wanted to step away from assigning an essay as the final project, but weren't sure how to do it or what to replace it with? I had the privilege of discussing one such option with Dr. David Slukey, an assistant professor in Jewish studies here at the College of Charleston. He talked to me about an assignment called the Un-Essay that he first learned about from his colleagues, Drs. Rabin and Kressler. He retooled it to fit a course called Memory, Politics, and the Holocaust, and found that students, though they needed some nudging, went on to complete projects he himself could never have imagined. And by the way, do you hear that violin? That's just one form that the Un-Essay can take.
So an Un-Essay is a kind of creative response to a prompt. So rather than, and it could be anything. This is the nice thing about an Un-Essay. It could be pretty much anything you dream up. Gives the students a lot of flexibility. It's kind of terrifying for students as well, but it sort of recognizes that, you know, writing a scholarly essay is only one way to understand the world, to apply research skills and to learn new research skills, and to, in, you know, the case of the class I teach, to understand the past and communicate, you know, what you know and learn about the past. The nice thing about it is it could be just anything the students want. And the good thing is you can really encourage students to kind of find a creative way to do what they love to do and then tell stories of the past through that thing that they're passionate about. So I've used this in a number of different courses, but sort of most aggressively, I guess, in my class, my honours interdisciplinary class. But they're basically responding to some artifact or text that we've looked at in semester. So it might be something like Elie Wiesel's Night, which they read, or they read this graphic novel called, from a daughter of survivors in Canada, called I Was the Child of Holocaust Survivors. Mm-hmm. One of the things they respond to also is the Holocaust Memorial in Marion Square. So I take them there and we talk about, we sort of interpret the monument itself. We talk about the context that it's in, which is really interesting because it's in, you know, it's sort of 50 feet away from a 60-foot tall statue of John C. Calhoun, and those are kind of in conversation. So some of them respond to that fact as well, the fact it's in this really problematic space. And really what I'm asking them to do is consider how to memorialize a difficult event like the Holocaust. And they have to think through the creative implications, the ethical implications. So they have to research whatever sort of genre or medium they choose. If it's an artwork, they have to go and read about art that depicts the Holocaust or genocide. If they're designing a memorial, which some students do, they look into the scholarship on memorials. I had one student a couple of years ago do a project where she designed a children's playground. It was like a memorial children's playground. Mm-hmm. It was fascinating, and she wasn't kind of an artistic student per se. You know, like sometimes you get students who are fine arts majors, so they like develop their skills there. But she was like, no, this is really interesting. So she drew up plans for it. And what was really fascinating was that she went and researched the sort of theory and ideas behind and pedagogical impetus of children's playgrounds. And then sort of thought about, okay, how do I then combine this idea of what the role of a memorial is with the role of a playground? And she drew up these plans, and it was quite fascinating because it kind of got rubbed against the grain of what you think a playground is for. Yeah. You know, that project, as an example, was a really good example of how this student took this really kind of out there, it's like a crazy sounding idea, and just did something fascinating, creative, and engaging, and that's just one example.
So then, in the question about what type of media it comes out as, you've got a playground.
Right, so you can design a memorial, and that's something that's been kind of common. Like, students design a memorial, so they'll, like, sketch it out, they'll make justifications and explain all the different kinds of symbolism and talk about how the audience is meant to engage with it. I've had students write songs. I've had students write short stories. Fictional short stories. I had a student create a podcast a few years ago, so she went to the memorial at Marion Square and she let her microphone run, and she said, this is what a memorial sounds like. And she conceived of it as kind of an audio memorial to the Holocaust, where she's kind of like interacting with and layering on different kinds of meaning that you get out of the memorial. So that's another example. I had a student last semester create an animation. So she came to my office just with pages and pages of the story had been storyboarded. And she was like, okay, this is what I'm really passionate about, animation. So I'm gonna use those skills and explore this storytelling technique. She responded to Elie Wiesel's Night and some of the imagery, particularly at the end of the book where he looks at himself in the mirror. So that became like a theme in the animation, and she posted that to YouTube. And again, it's like an example of, wow, this is work that they put out there that the students are actually proud of as well. It's not just an essay they fire off and then forget about. It's something where they're like super invested in and feel good about it. Mm-hmm. I had a student a couple of years ago who was a bio major, bio or marine biology. She created this, she was really fascinated by these memorials in Germany, particularly called counter monuments, that are basically invisible monuments. So it might be something like, in one town they went to the main square where all the Jews had been taken away. They lifted in the, this is kind of stealthily, they did this at night time when no one was around. They lifted the cobblestones out, cut engraved names of victims from that town in the cobblestones, and then put them with the names face down. So you don't actually see the memorial, but every time you walk across that square, you're engaging with it either wittingly or unwittingly. So she was really captivated by this idea of hidden memorials, and she did this project where she collected, and because she was a bio major, she was really interested in ecosystems and how you preserve ecosystems. So she collected a whole lot of, I guess they were either oyster or clam shells that get washed up on the beach. And she basically got people to commit to, you know, like in memory of like all this mass destruction, to help preserve the world and use these clam shells. So she basically got a bunch of students to like sign their names on the clam shells and come out with her and release them into these marine ecosystems where they would then serve to help like sustain whatever that particular ecosystem was. And it was it was so out there,
yeah,
as a, you know, what you would think of doing in a class on remembering the Holocaust, but it was just fascinating. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you say like what kind of media people do, like there's ways in which it's kind of more conventional, and there's ways it's like you could just dream up anything as long as you can justify it.
One day as I walked home from school, the miserable all times. Next day at school we all compared the Star of David everywhere. I was scared, I was confused. When I returned back home that night, it was such an awful sight. My mom was crying from some news, but still she sang to me. Good night, my darling, close your eyes, have faith in God, and please don't cry. In the morning we will rise. It's time for courage, yes, my dear. Lila Toving, good night.
Can you talk to us a little bit about the grading process?
You know, I do make sure that, like, I'm grading things along the way. Like, this is part of why I scaffold it. So I grade their proposal. I grade something like a progress report or a presentation. I grade their explanation and the product together. Because, again, it's like, if the painting's pretty or not, it doesn't matter. But it's the thinking that goes into it and the kind of... planning, the execution is not in the actual the final product. It's in the thinking that goes behind it.
As we crowded into sleep, one room that 17 did keep, my mother looked at me and smiled, but still she sang to me.
I'm not grading them on the artistic merit.
Of course.
So, you know, I don't want to say, well, you're not a painter, so don't paint. I want them to think about, like, is this project realistic for you and where you're at? Mm-hmm. Like, if you can't learn how to do that, maybe think of another possibility that allows you to do something similar, but that is more accessible to mm-hmm. you. So that's a bit of a challenge, you know, like, then what are you grading them on? So mostly what I'm grading them on is the process, actually, and the ways in which they think through the kinds of issues that you face. I mean, in this class particularly, the issues that you face when you're trying to memorialize difficult histories.
By process, it sounds to me like you mean the way they've engaged with it, the level at which they've engaged.
Right. So, I mean, it's for one, rewarding hard work, mm-hmm. and it's rewarding sophisticated thinking. It's like, what does it mean to engage with the memory of victims of genocide? It can't be aesthetically pleasing and polished and pretty. There's like a messiness inherent in it.
The last time that we'd be together for all eternity, she sang to me one more time. Goodbye, my darling, close your eyes.
What does it take away from the class?
I mean, I think one of the things that I really try and get across is that I want students to kind of challenge orthodoxies. You know, one of the things when you talk about the Holocaust specifically is people are very deferential and very, in some ways, kind of unwilling to even talk about it except in a particular way that treats it as holy. Something we can't necessarily understand. So I want to sort of challenge some of that thinking that says, well, the Holocaust is kind of outside history. It is this holy event. What I want them to take away from is that it's something that actually is deeply embedded in history and humanity, and something people did to one another. This is pretty much like whenever I teach the Holocaust, which is now every year. The takeaway is that this is something people did to each other, and it's something any people could do given the right circumstances and conditions. So in terms of an assignment like this, it's to say, well, what's the point of memorials and memorializing and just remembering the past generally? But I really want them to kind of come away really asking better questions, asking more questions, and always like being a little bit skeptical and not, you know, we read Elie Wiesel's Night, which has become, you know, the kind of certainly the most famous Holocaust memoir, but not without its issues. And I want to read it critically with them and for them to respond to some of those issues that it raises and gets raised kind of by reading it, and not just treat this as like this amazing book that this amazing survivor wrote. To say, actually, like, you know, this is a text that has its context and we ought to question and challenge it. And I think this un-essay really, like, gets them to do that in a deep and, for them, meaningful way.
This podcast is a production of the Teaching and Learning team. Special thanks goes to David for taking the time to speak with me, and to his students who have contributed their own unessays. Hannah Poulias provided the violin composition, and Sophie Forstein the song with guitar called Lila Tove. If you want to download a PDF of the unessay assignment that David used, look below the play bar on my College of Charleston website. You will also find several examples of unessays contributed by David's students. Thank you.
Waiting and watching for the German convoy to come around the bend. Still, die Nacht ist uns gestärnt und der Frost hat stark gebrennt. Sie denkst du, wie ich hab dich gelernt, halten ein Speier in die Hände.